Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And listen, I sit back with my brand new adventures.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
This is something I brought up at the agenda workshop to compensate our former city clerk for the time that she had earned compensatory time. It was not severance pay, but merely compensatory time. And we voted to move this forward.
So you remember Dawn Molinaro? She was the city clerk at the center of a bunch of sort of scandalous allegations and a bunch of things. I don't want to get into the details of it all, but still a pretty fresh wound for the city of Milton following all of the drama around the failed attempt to hire Scott Collins as a city manager, who has now said he wants the job again. I'll talk about that tonight. This is Councilwoman Marilyn Farrow saying that, look, we owe her money. She had, I think it was 47 hours of comp time. That's when you know, if you're supposed to be a salary employee and you work like 8 hours in a day and you work 10 hours, you take the 2 hours off on Friday. That's comp time. And if you don't take it ever, like you just work 42 hours that week, maybe you get paid for it later. Depends on your contract, but that's kind of the idea. Okay, you shift time from one place to another. Anyway, Mayor Lindsay, so Marilyn Farrow says we ought to pay her, and I guess it's about $1,600 or so, something like that. And Alex Andrade gets asked, well, his opinion from Mayor Lindsay.
Did we have an amount?
I'm just trying to get an opinion from Alex if possible.
Jeff Snow's asking.
Mr. Andrade, it sounds like someone wants to be recognized to ask you for an opinion. So you want to give an opinion on it, sir?
I'll preface this by saying I don't believe that compensatory time was ever a part of her employment activity or habit of practice. If the city council desires to make the payment, I would just ask the city not make a motion stating that it was in recognition of time earned or legally obligated. I believe the city council is perfectly well within its rights to provide that payment.
So the city council can do it, but it wasn't anything they have to do. Also,
Ms. Molinaro did not have a written contract with the city. There was no severance contemplated. Had she had a contract with the city, she likely would have or possibly would have some type of a severance clause in her contract.
So there's no contract that anybody can find. There's no evidence of comp time owed. There's no severance owed. Also, all of this tied up with the fact that there's no contract. And like the handbook for the city doesn't apply to her as a direct employee of the council, like the city manager and Dom Molinaro, the city clerk, former city clerk, and Alex Andrade, city attorney, don't have contract, or they would have contracts. They don't fall under the typical employment that the city does. So that's all not an issue. And he says, look, it's okay if you want to, you know, pay her this money, but do it as a release of other obligations, because she's been kind of, you know, threatening to sue and had a lawyer at the city council meetings a couple of times in her stead. And so give her the money if you want to, but don't just give it to her. Give it to her as in trade, for she agrees not to sue the city for anything else, like a hold harmless agreement. So that's what he recommends. That's what Jeff Snow says, let's do. And then Mike Cusack, and remember, there's all these factions, but basically you have the Marilyn Farrow, Mike Cusack, Heather Lindsay faction. And then you have the other six city council members to some degree are not a faction as much, but they're more aligned with, like, you know, Alex Andrade and former city council or city manager Randy Jorgensen, who's now retired. So Mike Cusack tries to change the motion after it's just been made.
Is there a second to Mr. Snow's motion?
I want to make an amended motion if I can.
Let's have the normal process. There's a second from who? Councilman Jarrett? Okay, so there's a second. So now we have discussion of the motion.
And this has been kind of in the background, just a procedural issue where somebody will make a motion, somebody else tries to change the motion. Instead of voting up or down on that motion, it's been a little bit confusing in the past. Then you have, Mayor Lindsay weighing in and saying, well, we may not have a contract, but she swears that she did sign one.
I had asked her about this because she copied me on her email to Dana Barger. She submitted to her her comp time sheet. So I've seen it, seen the email. I asked her about it, and she explained it to me. She also told me that she had signed a contract. She doesn't know where it is. Laquita Neely had the contract and presumably was trying to get everyone to sign the contract. I have no idea what happened to it. But if Ms. Molinaro remembers signing one, I think it's relevant to you all to know that she remembers signing one.
Well, the memory of a contract that nobody can find is not the most enforceable document, but that other people think never existed at all. But she says the former HR manager and now the new HR person and all that. Marilyn Farrow says this is the least we can do for her after the way we treated her.
She is not asking for anything other than comp time. She's not asking for sick leave or vacation time. And my belief is that because she worked though that extra time, that this is the least we can do for her. And then to put a condition on it for her to sign a release of liability, I think is just wrong. And I could not support that.
So we owe her. It's the least we could do for firing her. And then to put a condition that she won't seek anything else is, you know, insult to injury on top of it all. Jeff Snow says,
you just made a statement, the least we can do. We don't need to forget what she did. Okay. Made false accusations. They were printed in a paper that haven't been recanted. And, I think this board, if it chooses to push this forward and Ms. Molinaro agrees to it, I think that's us being very gracious to her. And that's why I'm going to stick by what we've made a motion on.
Because otherwise, to take the words of Alex Andrade, we're just paying somebody, a private citizen, $1,600 for no benefit to the city. And that's not a practice that you want to propagate. We'll come back to this in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. And taking a look around, good news is we're not showing a lot right now. There was an accident I-110 southbound at mile marker 4. Now that has been cleaned up. Gulf Breeze Parkway and College Parkway in Gulf Breeze. That's Highway 98 and College Parkway showing an accident, but not showing a roadblock. But I am showing it is super slow on your way into the base this morning, and it's backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. Past Gulf Beach Highway by the Walmart, actually, on your that's the front gate of NAS Pensacola. So caution there, caution wherever you are. You know that 437-1620. Pack your patience in that case. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, yeah. Candy. So back to the fight that's going to happen again tonight, probably about this item, which is, you know, to finalize the decision to pay the former, now terminated Don Molinaro for cause city clerk the about $1,600 for her claim of comp time. So like I said, this was the conversation last week. It's going to come up again tonight. Roxanne Meese, who doesn't talk an awful lot, but says,
Thank you, Ms. Meese. I agree. I think that, it opens up the citizens of Milton to too much liability to do it any other way. Personally, I'm offended by what she did and I would think to say no, but I would be in agreeance. He signs a waiver to do this. Otherwise, oh no.
Then the city gets something out of it. Now, so what they're talking about is time that people work who are on a salary or a contract above and beyond their normal duties. And, you know, well, I guess it contract technically, not necessarily just salary. But the question then is, well, are there any other employees at the city who this might apply to them if they quit or get fired? And, you know, there was a brief moment where somebody said, well, how does it work for Ed Spears? And they're like, no, let's not talk about that. So that's interesting. Joe Cook, who is the public works director.
I got one question. I'm a contract employee. I don't get no comp time. When I'm here tonight, never council meeting, I get nothing for it. If I get fired, you're going to pay me comp time for 12 years that I've done it?
Oh.
thanks for your comments.
Are you going to pay me comp time for 12 years of coming to these meetings? I mean, that's a fair question. So the vote passes 5-2 to pay with the waiver. Like, she has to sign away that she's going to not hold the city responsible for anything else. Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack voting the nay. I believe it was 5-2. It was either 6-2 or 5-2, but I think there was only 7 of the people there that night. So then after they've passed the vote, like they're done, I mean, to move forward to the final vote today, they voted on it and they move forward. And Mike Cusack says, well, I just want to take a whole new vote on that same exact thing that we just voted on.
All right, Mr. Cusack, do you want to make any other motion related to this item?
Yeah, I make a motion that we just pay her without any, pay her what she's due without any stipulations or hold harmless agreements or anything to that effect.
He just wants to vote again on the thing they just voted on and vote on it a different way.
He's entitled to the money. I find it amazing that her paperwork has disappeared from the city.
What?
I find that amazing how that could happen.
Well, she claims it went missing. She claims that it was signed. She claims it was executed, but she doesn't have a copy to prove it. And he's basically saying that there's some conspiracy going on, that somebody's misplaced her contract to avoid paying her this money. That's what he's suspicious of.
I don't know what our checks and balances are to make sure employee information is kept secure. I don't know how that could have happened. So, but anyway, that's my motion.
Well, it could be that there was never a contract. I mean, that's one possibility. So Mayor Lindsay and then Dana Barger again is going to come in here, the HR person.
Ms. Barger wants to come forward, and she did not lose the contract. It was something that happened before she was even here. So in her defense.
In the city's defense, Ms. Molinaro also does not have a copy of the contract that she supposedly signed.
That's Matt Jarrett.
And she told me she didn't because she gave it to Laquita because it wasn't fully executed. She signed it and she gave it to Laquita.
I know if I ever sign a contract, I make a copy of it.
Well, thanks for your thoughts on how you have judged her.
He's saying, as Matt Jarrett saying, if I do a contract, I don't ever give it back to you without keeping a copy for myself. That's what most people do, right? So why didn't she keep a copy for herself of the contract? Why? And, you know, and then Heather Lindsay doesn't want to hear that. She says, well, thank you, like, bless your heart. But, you know, he's raising a fair point. Dana Barger says she's never seen such a contract. Mike Husak tries to make the motion to pay her without the waiver. And Jeff Snow's like, are we going to reconsider everything this same way? This is crazy. You can't, like, have a vote and then all of a sudden let's have another vote on the same vote that we just had the other way.
Although the other motion passed, Councilman Husak and Councilman Farrow, I think, seconded the approach of not requiring the waiver or hold harmless. I don't know if that motion will pass.
Should we do that to every agenda item if it passes? Are we going to do that?
No, sir.
I'm just asking.
We don't normally do that, do we, sir?
No.
But you are here. I mean, that's the whole point. So she actually rules the motions out of order so that we don't do this every time. The only problem is they actually did a vote on it.
So I'm not going to recognize your motion, sir, but I do agree with your opinion.
Well, I understand.
Well, Mayor, the vote occurred.
That's Alex.
Was there a vote?
There was.
Okay. What was the vote?
Councilman Husak and Farrow, aye. Councilman Hawthorne, Councilman Powell, Councilman Snow, Councilman Meese, Councilman Jarrett, nay.
Thank you for the report. I didn't even see it. So I think the opinion of the council is very clear.
Yes, and like they... I just share because it's entertaining, but also because there's kind of just like, there's always this chaos. Always this chaos. The procedural stuff, had such a hard time getting the agenda ratified. And then tonight, when they actually have to deal with, I mean, this is $1,600. It's not that big of a deal, right? But oh, tonight. we'll see. Scott Collins' hat is back in the ring. We'll see if he winds up getting the job. What new drama can come out of the days of our Milton? Only sands through the hourglass. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What is the purpose of life? This is a question that almost everyone asks themselves at some point. Some people would say their purpose in life is their children, while others would say their purpose in life is their spouse. However, not everyone has children and not everyone is married, so the answer has to be broader than that. The Bible's basic answer to what is the purpose for life is to give God glory in all that we do. And the primary New Testament way to give God glory is to be focused on speaking the message of Jesus Christ to our kids or to our spouse, and really to anyone that we come in contact with. The purpose of this life is to lovingly and boldly explain the offer of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So let us be about our Father's business.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Join Sonia with Chill Out Cryo Spa Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Sonia will be taking your calls and discussing how you can achieve your body goals with body sculpting or pain reduction sessions at Chill Out Cryo Spa. You want to look and feel your best. Find out how Thursday at 10:30 with Chill Out Cryo Spa and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
More news, more talk with Markley Van Kevin Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
That was boring.
Yeah. Just the same thing over and over again.
Wait, are they talking about this show? Or what?
Talking about another show.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, not boring.
That's what the billboard says.
That's what the billboard said.
Dude, I never saw
it. Oh my God, that was...
Love it.
We actually had to put up a billboard to tell people I wasn't boring. How boring does that mean I must really be?
No, but I thought... I never saw myself listening to a news station.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I love it. I love it. I'm addicted to it.
Oh, it's funny.
Thanks a lot.
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And the good news is we're not showing many slowdowns or delays. Highway 98 in College Parkway in Gulf Breeze showing an accident, but not a roadblock at this time. I-110 southbound at mile marker 4. There was an accident there. Now, that has been cleared up, but emergency crews still may be on scene. Looks like Davis Highway near 10. There could be a roadblock. So certainly caution there. And East 9 Mile Road, right where it hits Beulah, as I understand, showing an accident with no roadblock this morning. Use caution there. The front gate of Pensacola NAS is still backed up over past sunset, and over Gulf Beach Highway. And I'm just double-checking that. Davis Highway and 110 and 10 area, rather. And I'm not showing a roadblock in that area, but certainly use caution there. And wherever you are, you know that. 437-1620. If you have a traffic tip, text it in. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Biden administration moving forward with a prisoner exchange with Iran. This deal would free five Americans being held captive there. The U.S. issued a waiver for foreign banks to transfer $6 billion in Iranian oil money that had been frozen by U.S. sanctions. All five Americans have been transferred from the prisons they were in to house arrest in Tehran while the agreement is finalized. Today is definitely a day worth celebrating.
It's National Chocolate Milkshake Day. We've been drinking them since 1885, although back then they were a boozy drink with eggs and whiskey. They became popular in 1922 with the invention of the electric blender. You can thank Steve Poplawski for that. So have one chocolate milkshake today, maybe not two, 478 calories a glass. I'm Bree Tennis, NBC News Radio.
I'm slightly curious about this old school version
whiskey
with the eggs and whiskey.
Yeah. I know. That sounds better. That's
awful.
Like halfway to
I've
a bushwhacker,
got an abundance
right?
of all those ingredients.
That was what Rocky drank to get in shapes.
Was it Mike Wazowski was his name? Steve Zablowski? What was the guy's name? The guy we give credit to? The guy who obviously didn't work for the McDonald's Corporation.
No.
Since they can't keep their shake machines in functioning order. Anyway,
dude, they do plenty of good for the community.
They do.
Blaspheme McDonald's.
And also, we talked about this earlier. I've been having conversations with people about this on text, that they're going to, over the course of the next like 5 or 6, 8 years or something like that, they're going to gradually get rid of the self-serve stations for the drinks at
That's
McDonald's.
Right,
so you'll have to go ask for a drink. Apparently, part of this is related to theft because people come in with whatever cups and just fill it up. I assume it's partially like drink sharers at the table kind of thing. But also, to me, I think they're deliberately internalizing. You know, externalizing is when you make somebody else pay for the thing you do. Like when Walmart has you check out your own groceries. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's externalizing. They're making you pay for the salary of the by doing it yourself. Of course, then you check yourself out, and then somebody else calls in an order, and they pay somebody to go around and pick up their groceries for them. You pay for that, too. Anyway, not to get prissy, but anyway, what McDonald's is doing is internalizing it in order to discourage it. Because I think the average person, let's say you go get 4 refills during a meal. Well, yeah. Now you're going to get 2 because you're like, I don't want to put up with this so many times. I suspect.
No, I mean,
so they're
going to
save money on soda by making you irritated at getting the refills. I'm guessing. Am I wrong, Candy?
Yeah, we'll see.
All right.
Yep.
David Wayne, what do you have coming up in your news, sir?
Well, Baptist Hospital's moving at the end of the month, but not everybody's happy about it. More after Fox.
Fox News, and I'm Chris Foster. 13 days into a manhunt for an escaped convict in Pennsylvania, he's believed to be armed now with a stolen rifle.
We are learning escaped prisoner Danilo Cavalcante broke into a home late last night in East Nantmeal Township, Pennsylvania. The homeowner shot at him several times, but he still managed to get away with a stolen rifle.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is in Russia now to meet with President Vladimir Putin about an arms trade for the war with Ukraine.
It's a rare trip out of the country. The last time he was in Russia was in 2019, and Kim Jong-un country is in desperate need of food and energy assistance. He's also been attempting to acquire nuclear ballistic submarine technology. It is unclear what Russia is willing to give up in a possible deal.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. 2,300 deaths are reported in northeastern Libya in flooding, with 10,000 people reported missing. 2 dams collapsed. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31, 75 degrees, partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Looks like an absolutely beautiful morning out there right now. The countdown is on until Baptist Hospital moves into their brand new campus over on Brent Lane. Some people, though, who live near the current campus over on E Street are a bit worried that this move might leave them behind.
I just think if ever there was a major emergency, I couldn't drive myself. I'd have to wait for an ambulance, and then that would be no telling how long, and then the ambulance would have to drive there. So it does concern me.
And that is Carrie Schwanke, and she tells Channel 3 that right now she lives just a few minutes from the current facility, but when they move to the new campus, she'll be several miles away. Baptist planning to move into that campus here at the end of the month. They plan to move all their patients in only one day. That's quite a feat. As for the current facility, though, the city and Baptist now working out plans for demolition and potentially converting some of that old campus into affordable housing. Well, pretty much all of the east coast of Florida can expect to see life-threatening surf and rip currents this week. That's because of Hurricane Lee.
Distant hurricanes can still produce deadly rip current and surf conditions. So please, if you're going to be going to the beach, check the warning flags, swim in areas where there's lifeguards. We lose a lot of people to distant hurricane-generated rip currents along the U.S. East Coast. So please be safe.
That is Dr. Michael Brennan there from the National Hurricane Center. Lee right now, a Cat 3 storm, may be upgraded to Cat 4 sometime today. It's expected to eventually... Right now it's moving northwest. It's expected to eventually turn and head straight north, moving parallel with the east coast. Navarre Beach Fire and Rescue joined fire departments all over the nation yesterday. They were participating in memorial stair climbs to honor the firefighters, 343 of them, who died at the World Trade Center on September 11th.
It helps us remember, you know, on 9/11, at least from our fire service perspective, that the 343 firefighters that did climb that tower and didn't make it home that day.
Firefighters climbed 11 floors 10 times to mark the 110 floors in the World Trade Center towers. They honored the memories of Lawrence Virgilio, John Tipping II, Joseph Angelini Jr. Captain Sean Hughes tells Channel 3 they raised about $3,000 to $4,000 for the National Fallen Firefighters Association. Well, there were 2 deadly weekend car accidents in Santa Rosa County, and one on State Road 89, another on I-10. And that was both of them over last weekend. Both were reported Saturday morning. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson says people really need to slow down.
You know, we're in a society now where you have to get to where you're going as fast as you can, and there's, you know, if anybody tries to slow you down, you tailgate and then you pass on the ride or what. And, you know, this is what causes it. People just not being patient.
And Johnson says his deputies are the first to arrive on scene and see the carnage. Johnson says people need to leave earlier and slow down when they're on their way somewhere. Attorneys for extortion suspect Yurin Vandersloot have now asked a judge in Alabama for a second extension in their trial to allow more time to prepare. Yet Monday was the deadline for the defense team to file their pretrial motions. Specifically, the defense requested a 45-day extension in the trial. Vandersloot is being held in Shelby County, Alabama. He's charged with two federal counts of wire fraud and extortion for offering to lead the parents of Natalie Holloway to her remains in exchange for $250,000. The 18-year-old Mountain Brook girl disappeared in 2005 while on a trip to Aruba. 735, it's News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic.
I'm showing an accident on 9 Mile and 29, or rather the turn on to 29 from 9 Mile, but it doesn't look like it's holding anything up. There's no roadblock there, but it does look real, real slow. This just might be buses, but this is southbound on 29 in Cantonment, in fact, through most of Cantonment from Spencer, is it Spencer Field? I'm sorry, Berrydale Road to 10 Mile, just almost a stop, a parking lot at this point, and slow really all the way down to 10. So it might be usual congestion. I'm not showing an accident there. Use caution, as you know, wherever you are in the front gate of Pensacola NAS backed up to Gulf Beach Highway this morning. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We will have scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. 50% chance of rain overall. High today near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 92. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
75 in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. The FDA has cleared updated COVID-19 shots, which should protect against the latest versions of the virus now circulating. The vaccines, one from Pfizer and another from Moderna, were green-lighted by the health agency yesterday for adults and children 6 months and older. The doses should be available at pharmacies, doctor's offices, and other vaccination sites within a few days. The boosters will be the first that their manufacturers sell commercially rather than to the federal government. Morgan Stanley says Tesla's Dojo supercomputer could fuel a $500 billion jump in the electric vehicle maker's market value, comments that fueled a 10% jump in Tesla shares yesterday. Morgan Stanley predicted the massive drive in value could come from Dojo, potentially unlocking new revenue streams through the wider adoption of robo-taxis and software services. The analyst compared the potential of Dojo to Amazon Web Services that propelled Amazon's profitability to new heights. And that's Your Money Now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Things keep getting bigger and better at Darrell Sewing of Pensacola. Darrell Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery systems, plus a large selection of sewing machine furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Financing is available too. Call him today, 850-438-5444. Darrell Sewing, located at 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
Building-related illnesses. We get a lot of calls for this. Who do you know that is sick from the building they're in? Hi, this is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. Building-related illness symptoms include coughing, sneezing, headaches, itchy, watery eyes, and a host of breathing problems. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we have the solution. We can inspect, clean, and treat your AC system so you'll feel great. If you have dust issues or health problems that you feel are related to your home or office building, you should give us a call. We'll share the tips and secrets you need to know for a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. Gulf Coast Air Care is at 850-934-2768. Our service will extend the life of your air conditioner and your system will be much more energy efficient too. Let us help you by cleaning the most neglected system in your home or workplace.
At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com.
Hit it, Sarah.
Serious cleaning, Gulf Coast Air Care.
News Radio 92.3. Get your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. Local programming from 5 a.m. until 11 a.m. with Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Expert Panel. Local programming from 4 to 7 p.m. with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. And local programming at night with a simulcast of WEAR-TV News. Live and local with News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Point, the male that forced entry into her trailer pulled out a handgun, pointed it at her brother, and cocked it. If someone points a gun at you and cocks it, you can shoot them.
So that was Sheriff Chip Simmons speaking to Channel 3, our news partners, last week, I think it was, last week after the incident at Silver Lake's Mobile Home Park. And so my theory about sheriffs in general is that every sheriff has a little Grady Judd inside of him. The only question is how much Grady Judd. You know, Grady Judd has 100% Grady Judd. And then, you know, Sheriff Johnson and Sheriff Simmons have some lower percentage. But every once in a while it comes out. I felt like the Grady Judd and you came out in that moment, Sheriff Simmons. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. Grady Judd is the blunt sheriff in, what, Pinellas, I think, is where I have
in
my head.
Polk County.
Polk County. Oh, no, that's right, Polk County. Anyway, this was a bizarre case. I guess what this former boyfriend had broken into her house and she called her brother over for help, right?
Yeah, well, there's a couple things here and that led to that comment. She had broken up with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend comes back to the house and forces his way into the trailer, forces his way inside, batters her. I am privy to the video. There's a video of this, and
she had video inside. Okay,
her,
all right,
her place. And he slaps her around a bit. She asked him to leave. I would estimate, I have not counted them all, at least 15 to 20 times. Leave. He refuses to do so. She, I guess, unbeknownst to him, texts her family who was nearby, staying nearby, lives nearby, whatever.
Okay.
So they came in like the cavalry. They
Multiple people?
There was three people came
in. Oh, okay.
I think her aunt and some other another individual came in with her, I think it's her brother.
Yeah.
And then they get into a tussle, a fight, a bit of a fight, as you can imagine. And then at one point, the ultimate shooting victim is let up, and he is about to leave, and he turns around with a handgun, and he points it at, and I believe he actually fires the first round.
Oh, okay.
Which the other individual shoots and kills him.
Okay.
So again, I made that comment because I mean it. If someone were to point a gun at me, they're liable to get shot, and I want you know that same reasonableness standard as we talk about
many times,
years and
yeah.
years. If it sounds reasonable, you can protect yourself or others, and you can do that in Escambia County.
Self-defense is justified. Self-defense inside your home is justified. Defense of others inside a home is right. justified. These are all, you know, sort of core obvious self-defense parameters. And yeah, wow. I mean, it's, and so, you know, there would be no charges because it's self-defense, right?
We are not going to charge.
Yeah, that's all there is to it. You had another case. Jarvis Johnson, 38-year-old Jarvis Johnson, was the victim. This was on Emerald Avenue in Escambia County over the weekend, I think on Saturday. Is that right?
That's correct. About 10:30 in the morning, we get a call of shots fired. Our deputy was nearby. We were there within probably 2 minutes. And then when we get there, we find that there was a male that was deceased in what I think is his front yard. But because we were there so quickly, we established a perimeter and had canines. And so the question was whether, you know, why did we have canines out if we weren't looking for someone? Because if you get there fast enough and you think that someone's going to be on foot, potentially, we want to make sure that we don't, you know, lose that opportunity.
Right.
And so that's what we did. We weren't able to locate the dogs, weren't able to locate a suspect. So we are asking if anyone has information to please let us know. The interesting fact about this case is the same victim was shot in May and we weren't really getting a lot of information about that particular one. So we're trying to figure out whether these are connected, whether they're related, whether the May thing led into the thing that happened on Saturday, or some sort of a continuing escalation.
I am assuming that you are assuming that nobody gets shot in their yard twice within 6 months by sheer accident.
It's yes. that's correct.
This is not just this is not just like, you know, an ordinary citizen is just out in the yard one day and what'd you say, March or April, and they get shot, and then
and then
again in September and they get shot in the yard. Man, unlucky.
Yeah, again, you know? I don't know the circumstances surrounding this one. It appears to be close quarters, or it's not a drive-by. It was something that happened someone close, and it does not appear random. I'll tell you that. In May, the statement was he was taking his garbage out and ends up getting shot by an unknown person. You know, seems a little far-fetched at the time, and now that we're looking at piecing these things together, you know, we're trying to see exactly what took place. So, again, if someone has information and they want to come forward with that, we would really appreciate it.
Very good. We're talking to Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
All right. Not showing a lot this morning. A little backed up on 29 as you're headed towards 9 Mile. This is southbound, of course, between Kingsfield and it looks like just before Muskogee. It looks like just a little bit tied up on 29. Again, that is southbound. Accident on 9 Mile right near the turnoff to 29, but I don't think that's what's backing things up. She says Davis Highway and I-10 showing an accident, and it doesn't look like it's backed up there a tremendous amount either. So you certainly use caution there as you get on I-10. Now we're seeing I-10 very, very slow. Same space that it was yesterday. I-10 eastbound as you're headed towards Davis Highway. I'm not really sure exactly where it starts here, but just a parking lot as you're getting off the Carr City exit and backed up all the way to the Pine Forest exit. Also backed up on your way into Pensacola NAS, at least the front gate. That's backed up to Gulf Beach Highway this morning, way past sunset. You see an accident or a slowdown, let us know. 437-1620. Text in those traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Just because we were talking about these two shooting incidents, where are we at with the shot spotter?
We have been meeting with the individuals and representatives of from Shot Spotter. We do have the money. It's a grant that comes around $400,000 a year that what we're getting. We have met with them. They've figured out the locations to put for the 3 mile perimeter in Escambia County, and the next step is to go ahead and actually put those up on the poles and integrate those with our real time crime center, which should probably be up and running by November.
Okay, where's the location? Because that was the last I heard was you guys were not decided yet.
On the location for the shot spot.
Uh-huh.
It's a 3 mile area encompassing Montclair and Mayfair.
Okay.
It's just those two areas. We used a heat map as to when the reported shots were over the last year or so, and that seemed to be the area with the highest shots. Now, the city of Pensacola also has a 3 mile area, and I don't know what their area is, but a lot of downtown.
Oh, they're not. You guys are not collaborating on the region.
We're aware of it, but we're each doing our own. Right.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
We apply for the appropriation. The sheriff's office did on behalf of us and the Pensacola Police Department. So we. We pretty much carry the water on that one.
All right, we'll have to ask the mayor about that tomorrow. Very good. One of the other sort of things that's come up a bunch recently, well, I guess we had one more incident I wanted to talk about. Ian Foster arrested, fled your deputies in a stolen truck. Is that right?
Yeah, used to be where fleeing a deputy or fleeing from law enforcement would be a isolated experience, but we seem to have a lot of people doing that. Let me tell you what's going on with these stolen cars and what we have seen. People are stealing cars, and then they're letting them sit for a couple of days, and then they're going back and using these cars to do drive-by shootings. We know that. We see that, and we're not stupid. So I told our deputies, I said, we're going to go ahead and stealing a car and being a stolen car is a felony. We're going to go ahead and chase these cars as long as it's safe to do so. And not only that, we're going to try to end these pursuits as quickly as we possibly can, because they may be heading towards a drive-by shooting, they may be heading from a drive-by shooting, but either way, they're not just
joyriding.
Don't get caught in a stolen car and try to run from deputies, because there's a reason. First of all, you're in a stolen car. Secondly, there's a reason that you're running. This particular individual, even after he crashed, he tried to ram three or four of our cars. Actually, I think he ran four or five of our cars.
Wow!
Before he was finally pulled from the car, and taken into custody. So, you know, we're going to send them the bill for all of our bumpers and that sort of thing, and all the time it took, and hopefully stays in jail for a while. But I think it's always important, especially yesterday being September 11th and the first responders and the work that they do, to understand that our deputies are out there day in, day out, and they're chasing people that have bad intentions.
And this was W and Jackson, I think, is where this ended
up.
Is that right?
Right.
Okay. One of the other things that's kind of come up recently is talking about, you know, dealing with the homeless issue. And, you know, you had made some comments that were interpreted as wanting a task force, wanting to spend money, thinking you could spend money better than, I guess, the city and the county are doing. But what's the truth here? What's going on with the homeless in the county from your perspective?
Yeah, the question that was presented to me was, would we work with the Board of County Commissioners on maybe, you know, hardening up our ordinances, creating better ordinances, because we feel like, and our legal team feels like, the existing ordinances that are on file are under constitutional challenge throughout the state,
okay,
including all the trespassing, the panhandling, and all of that. And so my response was, sure, I'll be glad to work with the county commission and see if we can come to something. And then the question led into, you know, what is the issues here? What do I see? And I made reference. I feel bad for the business owners that have to deal with some of those despicable acts that these people do,
yeah,
right in the sidewalks, right in front of them, and I feel bad. And I. Maybe a little snarkily, but I did say, if you want to give me some of the millions of dollars you have to spend on homelessness, I will create an engagement unit, mm-hmm, not a task force, but a unit, and we will concentrate solely on the homeless issue. I will have 8 deputies or so, and that's what they would do. They would help them find the resources that are available, but they will also put those that are violating the laws in jail. We can take care of that. We can help you. Help yourselves if you wanted to give us some of that money. Now, the newspaper mentioned that I was going to go to them and ask for it. I'm not going to do that. But if they really want to make use of the money, because I'll be honest, I'm not sure exactly where all the money has gone to.
Sure.
And they don't invite me to their meetings. Thank God. but I'm just telling you, if they want to, if that money's burned a hole in their pocket, I can make use of it.
Well, I would say at the city, the money burnt a hole in the pocket already, and at the county, it's like locked up in a vault in their pockets. So I don't, you know, they can't quite figure out which end of that spectrum they want to be on.
I was simply
giving
them an option.
You were saying I could help. I know some things, yeah, that we could do. All right, very good. Hey, we always like to end on a good note, which is the 25, I think, graduates of the Female Blazer Academy. Is that right?
Yeah, last Tuesday we had our graduation ceremony, second Female Blazer Academy, and I was lucky enough to be, and fortunate enough to have been a part of, I actually taught 2 separate sessions of this class. And the difference between the young men's and the young women's class is they are all similar in that the growth and the mm-hmm, from one meeting to the next, but the Female Blazer Academy is a lot more vocal. They're a lot more willing to talk about their future,
yeah,
than the young men were. The young men, we had to pull it out of them.
Right.
What goals do you have? Oh, no, I don't have anything. Uh-huh. The young women have goal after goal after goal. And
let me show you my binder.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of goals, goal number 12 is this,
right,
and that. And it's a very rewarding experience. We were able to be at the Sanger Theater for our graduation. We walked across the street to the Global Grill. Every time I finish one of these classes, every time we look at the faces and these young men and women, where they're decked out in their blazers, and they, you know, we give them a little gift, we do a little toast to them. It just kind of, you know, reassures you that our future is not in bad hands after all.
I love this program. It's, how many agencies have been copying this program now, or do you know?
Yeah, I don't know how many agencies have copied
implemented
exactly. I know that, again, I mentioned that it's the program of the year for the state of Florida. So when we went down to get the award, before I got to my seat, 4 agencies, you know, gave me a card, said, hey, can you have someone call me with it? So I think that there are a number of agencies that are doing a version of it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty heavy lift, quite frankly, but it's worth it whenever you look at the time that you're giving to to our area youth. Not all of them are at risk. Some,
sure,
are. Some are from AMI kids and boys base, and we have had some that are actually convicted of certain of crimes. But it's just a great group of people. We're not tolerating any nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a great back and forth. It's a great opportunity to give the kids what I think they really need, and that's time.
No, it's a beautiful program. It really is. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for talking to our audience here, and then obviously thanks for what you do, keeping us safe. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
7:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 till 7 right before Dave Ramsey on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I am inevitable.
Moving forward, using all.
Oh, so good. 7:56 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Candy, who's busy singing,
will have that our. Song.
I know. God, it is such a happy song.
English,
it really
so
is.
Good.
Modern English, you're the best.
Yeah. Listen to the words, though. Like, I'll stop the world and melt with you.
Yeah.
It's like.
It's pretty good.
I always thought of it as dark, but now that you say that, it's probably not what he means. Okay, so as we take a look at our roads, Davis Highway and I-10 showing a vehicle crash, but again, not showing a roadblock at this time. Still backed up at the front gate of Pensacola NAS, now only backed up to Sunset, only because it was down to Walmart earlier on New Warrington and Navy. So, and it was backed up on Gulf Beach Highway as well, but it looks like that has cleared up. So a little bit easier to get onto the front gate of Pensacola NAS. Still backed up on I-10. Now, I'm not showing that that's an accident necessarily. There is one near Davis, but I don't think that's where the backup, because it starts before that, between the Davis turnoff and Carr City. And it is just very, very slow in that area, and it's backed up almost to the Pine Forest exit. Again, that is, that's I-10 eastbound. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, yeah. Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The mayor of New York City is warning that a financial tsunami is ahead due to the costs of the migrant crisis. Their mayor, Eric Adams, demanding all city agencies implement budget cuts to help cover the $12 billion price tag associated with all the migrants moving to New York. Former President Donald Trump wants his charges in Fulton County, Georgia, thrown out. His attorney filed paperwork yesterday asking to dismiss state charges in the racketeering case. Ex-Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani also filed a similar request last week. And sports betting company DraftKings had a little bit of controversy yesterday, Andrew. They had to issue an apology for a 9/11 related bet.
DraftKings offered a bet for the anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks titled Never Forget. The bet involved winning money if the Yankees, Mets, and Jets all won on 9/11, and that drew backlash on social media with people taking offense to a company tying 9/11 to a bet promotion. In a statement, DraftKings says, "We sincerely apologize for the featured parlay that was shared briefly in commemoration of 9/11. We respect the significance of this day." Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe not.
Seems in hindsight bad call.
Maybe the clever idea you come up with at 2 a.m. when, you know, you're smoking and drinking is not the idea you should implement at the betting company. Oh, by the way, did you see that they're talking about impeaching the mayor of New Mexico over the gun thing? And even critics on the left who are pro-gun control say, you know, that Constitution doesn't have a public health emergency exception.
Local news every